This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله إله الأولين والآخرين. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده وتركنا على المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك فصلوات ربي وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما وبعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. My brothers, my sisters in Islam, today there is something that has become a Muslim monopoly. It is not success, it is not wisdom, it is something I like to call mediocrity. Today, for some reason, when we have anything that we want to excel in, it doesn't happen with Islam and Muslims. It tends to happen with non-Muslims. Unfortunately, today, we are all engrossed, or vast majority of us are engrossed in pursuing things that add very little benefit to our own selves, our own families, and much less to humanity. At the forefront of things that impact human beings is not a Muslim, it's usually a non-Muslim. We tend to be at the forefront of things that do not matter much. We tend to talk about sheikhs in the Middle East that tend to have the best cars that are diamond studded, or wealth that is beyond measure. We tend to talk about human beings that have phenomenal ability but very little value at all. I'm here to tell you that we are meant to be different. Islam does not tell us to pursue mediocrity. Islam tells us to pursue excellence in whatever we do. In fact, ihsan is not meant to be about simply worshipping Allah as if you see Him. It is that you worship Allah as if He is in front of you, so you excel in whatever you do. Everything in Islam tells us to be that excellent human being. Everything in Islam tells us to be that one person, that one man that matters. Everything in Islam tells us that numbers don't matter. Everything in Islam tells us that when we have greater numbers, we actually have more difficulty, more problems. Which battle was it that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam nearly lost due to numbers? It wasn't Battle of Badr when he was outnumbered. It wasn't the Battle of Uhud when he was also outnumbered that he was losing due to numbers. It was due to something else. It wasn't the Battle of Khandaq. It was the Battle of Hunayn. When he was larger in numbers. وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ. When on the day of Hunayn, when your numbers amazed you. So numbers is the wrong thing. And as any leader will tell you, any CEO will tell you, the greatest problem with success is success itself. The greatest problem with results is results itself. The greatest problem of money is money itself. The greatest problem of cash is cash itself. Is the false sense of security that you get, that I have the numbers, I will win the battle, I have the cash, I will survive. It is success itself that is the greatest enemy of success. It is numbers that is the greatest enemy of results. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ told us in the authentic hadith, an army of 12,000 will never be defeated due to numbers. So we will never be defeated due to numbers. On that day, the Sahaba said, is it because we are so few in numbers? Is that why we will be downtrodden and the earth will eat us up and the people of the world will try to fight for our resources? No, the Prophet said, ﷺ, he said, you will be large in numbers like the foam in the ocean. Countless are the numbers of Muslims, but we have no value. We have no value at all. My brothers and sisters in Islam, I want you to ponder on the following thing. And that is that Islam only needs one man. Islam, Allah only needs one man. To a nation, Allah sent one man. To all of humanity, one man, he never sent armies. One prophet of God. One Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. One Ibrahim. One Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. One man. One man sent to the Ad and to the Thamud. One man, Hud. One man. Just one man, that's it. All we need is one man. Can this room not provide that one man? Can you not find that one man amongst you? Or do you need a medical examination? Do you need to find your manhood amongst you? All Islam needs is as one man to rise up. And we have always risen up when one man has taken that responsibility on his or her shoulders. Every single time one person has said, I will be that person, is the one who won. And whenever we say, I don't need to be that person, I don't want to excel, I don't want leadership, like this mentality we have in Malaysia, I don't want to excel because I don't want to disappoint myself, I don't want to disappoint others. The more we think like that, the more we think that one man is not me. But everything in Islam tells us to be that one man. The Prophet ﷺ said in an authentic hadith, three hadith I'm going to share with you today. The first thing the Prophet ﷺ said, is that every 100 years Allah will send one man. Right? One man who will change for the people their religion. Will revive for the people iman in the hearts. The mujaddid of the qarn. Mujaddid of the century. One person. And it is the right and the duty of every Muslim man to be that man. To desire to be that mujaddid. Ana laha, I am that person we should be saying. Because if we do not do that, the real danger is not that we will not be that person. The real danger is that no one will come in that century that will revive the ummah. Ana laha, every prophet of God never ever put down the mantle responsibility. When Musa alayhi salam was chosen, he did not put it down. He simply asked Allah, fix my tongue, give me my brother as a helper. Straighten my way, O Allah, and help me with this cause. Never did he say, I don't want this responsibility. Every single Muslim must ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be that one man. And when we do so, that is the day when Islam will succeed. In another authentic hadith, the second one I'm going to share with you, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Rahim Allahu imri'in 'arafa qadrah." This is authentic hadith in Bukhari. Allah has mercy on a man who knows his qadr. The word qadr in Arabic language is translated by many people to mean limit. God has mercy on the one who knows his limits. And that is a weak translation of this hadith. The correct understanding of the hadith is Allah has mercy on the man who knows the greatness of his limits, who knows how wide his limits are, how huge his abilities are, and how huge his capacity is. God has mercy on the one, meaning Allah has mercy by helping you to achieve when you know that your limits are huge, when your ability is phenomenal, when your capacity is unbelievable. If you know that you can do great things, Allah will help you achieve it. If you try to achieve it, Allah will help you achieve it. And hence you will eventually end up achieving it. How many of us have dreamed and tried to do things that Allah helped us achieve it? We wanted to buy a house, we did it. We wanted to finish our studies, most of us got our degrees. We wanted to get into a job, Allah gave it to us. We wanted to get married, Allah gave us a wife. Whatever we aim for, we achieve it. What is wrong with us that we only aim for mediocrity? What is wrong with us? What is it that has made us happy with this dunya when it is so mediocre compared to the akhirah? My brothers and sisters in Islam, there is a third hadith I want to share with you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Kullun muyassarun lima khuliqa lah." In the authentic hadith in Bukhari, he said, every person is helped by Allah when they pursue their purpose. Lima khuliqa lah, for what they have been created for. If you pursue what Allah has created you for, then Allah will help you. Have you ever found that you started studying engineering and then it's so hard for you, just not finding the passion in it? Exams you're failing, you can't make yourself go to the class. Have you ever thought that perhaps you were never actually meant to be an engineer? You're only doing engineering because you saw your dad being an engineer, so you wanted to be an engineer. You're only doing engineering because someone else's vision and dream was for you to be an engineer, not because of yours. Have you ever thought you're living the dream of someone else, not your own? And that is why you're not finding passion and strength in it? Perhaps that is the reason why you're not finding passion and strength, because you're living the dream of someone else, not your own. So my jacket has a purpose. This recorder has a purpose. My cap has a purpose. My shoe has a purpose. My car has a purpose. My glasses have a purpose. And I don't have a purpose? How is that possible? Which fool things like that? Except someone who has been fooled by this dunya. Kullun muyassarun lima khuliqa lah. If you follow that which you have been created for, Allah's help will come. If you do not follow that which you have not been created for, Allah's help will not come, therefore, from this hadith. Therefore, my brothers and my sisters in Islam, it is high time we follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, not in just the way he spoke, the way he ate, the way he married and lived, but also in the fact that he spent 6 months of his life pondering on the purpose of his life. Ponder on the purpose of why you exist on this earth. Go and take a holiday, take a hike, take your shoes off, walk in the park, look at the sky, go and see the ocean and ask Allah, why did you create me? Was it to be like Umar, or to be like Khalid ibn Walid, or to be like Ibn Abbas? Which way do you want me to come to you, O Allah? What is the purpose for which you created me? With that, you will become that one man, that one woman that will change the world. And today is not the day where that one person, one man has to be an alim or a jabbar or a scholar of Islam. Today, that one man might be someone else. In the authentic narration which was reported, the Prophet ﷺ, whenever he was asked about what is the best deed, he changed it. Sometimes he said the best deed is jihad. Another time he said best deed is salah on time. Another time he said best deed is to feed a Muslim. Another time he said best deed is to give a Muslim drink of water. Another time he said the best deed is to put a smile on a Muslim. In fact, one of the ulama of Islam, he collected what is the best deed, the hadiths of the best deed. And he found over 70 types of best deeds, the Prophet said. So Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah explained in his fatawa that the best deed is not necessarily what you think is the best deed, or just salah or zakat or jihad. The best deed changes according to time and place, according to the best need of the Muslimin. So the most comprehensive hadith about the best deed is the best of you are the ones who are the most beneficial to mankind. That's the best deed. The best deed is finding out what does humanity and mankind need and fulfilling that. That could be being an engineer one day. That could be being a doctor. That could be money. And being a philanthropist, that could also be being a scholar as well. It could be whatever humanity needs at that place, in that situation. And so seek out the best deed. That gives an opportunity to every one of us. Some of us are doctors, some of us are lawyers, some of us are business people, some of us have passed that age. It doesn't mean we have no relevance anymore, that I can't be that one man. It means you simply find out what humanity needs first. What do people really need? Fulfill that. And that's where you will find Allah's help. That is where you will find Allah's help. فَلَقَتَحَمَ الْعَقَبَ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَ الْعَقَبَ He asks me for so many things he has yet to do. Who is he? Humanity. Has man has yet to do the aqaba. What is aqaba? The great deed in the eyes of Allah. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَ الْعَقَبَ What will tell you what is the great deed in Allah's eyes? فَكُّ رَقَبَ Which is to free a slave. Meaning if they're slaves, we'd free a slave. If there are no slaves, what are we going to free? So find a slave to free if they are slaves. فَكُّ رَقَبَ is one thing which Allah loves. أَوْ إِطْعَامٌ فِي يَوْمٍ ذِي مَسْغَبَ Or feeding on the day of masghaba, not just feeding. The aqaba, which is the great deed, is not just a feeding, which is a good deed in the eyes of Allah, but on the day of great poverty, where there's no food, everything is finished, there's no food left, people are dying from hunger on that day. أَوْ إِطْعَامٌ فِي يَوْمٍ ذِي مَسْغَبَ Or feeding on a day of severe difficulty. يَتِيمًا ذَا مَقْرَبَ أَوْ مِسْكِينًا ذَا مَتْرَبَ That you should feed on a day of great distress a yatim that is close to you or a miskeen that is very wretched. So Allah tells us how to understand aqaba. Aqaba, the great deed, is not necessarily just the good deed. It is the good deed on the day that that good deed is the most important good deed. So the best of you are the ones who are the most beneficial to mankind. And it is indeed possible for every one of us to be that one man that Islam needs. In one authentic narration, it was reported that when Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu bought the well for the Muslimin, when he bought the well for the Muslimin, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, today Uthman's face has been removed from the fire 500 years travel. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave sadaqah all the time. All the time he was giving sadaqah. Why today was his face removed from the fire 500 years travel and not before? Because today he fulfilled a great need, an aqaba. I want you to seek out aqaba. You want to become great people? You want to become that one man? You don't have to have special skills. You don't need excellent amount of money. You don't need to be a phenomenal speaker. You don't need any of that. You simply need to find the need. Go and find the aqaba of the Muslims. What is the great deed? Something simple like feeding food can become great if it is on the day of fi yawmin dhi masghaba, on the day of severe drought. So seek out where Islam needs help. Seek out where Islam is struggling. Seek out where Muslimin are dying. Seek out where there's absolute difficulty and tragedy. And with that, solve that small thing. It might be a rock in the shoe. It might be a small issue, but you will become a great person in the eyes of Allah because of the aqaba that you have done. Because you have done the great deed in the eyes of Allah, and you will be that one man. You will be that one man in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters in Islam, success is not in our hands. It is simply in putting the effort in. If we put the effort in, then our reward is confirmed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our shaykh used to say, تَصْحِيلُ الطَّرِيقِ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ مُرْتَبِطٌ بِبَذْلِ الْأَسْبَابِ لَا بِالنَّتِيجَةِ The ease to the path to paradise is based upon putting the effort, not upon achievement of the result. Achievement of the result is up to Allah purely. But upon us is just to put in the effort. And that is why Abu Bakr was greater than Umar, even though the results of Umar was higher than Abu Bakr's. Because of the fact that his effort was more. He gave double. He was the first to believe. He was first to be there. And because of this, he came first in the eyes of Allah, even though the results were not as great. It is for this reason why every one of us has a hope. Every one of us has a hope over here to be that one man. Every one of us can be the one man, because it doesn't matter in the eyes of anyone else. You might live a mediocre life in the eyes of others. You might die a mediocre life in the eyes of others. But know this, that Allah knows. It was reported. It was reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said on the day of the death of Mu'adh, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. It was reported that Sa'd ibn Mu'adh did not live for more than 7 years as a Muslim. Young boy. He died only 7 years in Islam. However, it was reported, the authentic hadith which is in Tabarani, the Prophet said, اِحْتَزَّ عَرْشُ الرَّحْمَانِ لِمَوْتِ سَعَدْ. The throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shook on the day of the death of Sa'd. When I read this hadith, I thought ihtazza means to shake. So therefore I thought shaking from what? Death of Sa'd, which is a sad thing. So therefore the throne of Allah shook with sadness. Then I came across Lisan al-Arab, where Ibn Mandhur said the word ihtazza is used by the Arabs to only mean shaking with happiness. When you win $1 million in the lottery, you know you start shaking with happiness. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Oh my God, shaking with happiness. That's the shake of happiness. So the throne of Allah shook with happiness on the day of the death of Sa'd. Can you believe it? Why? Because Allah was about to meet Sa'd. Happiness on the day that Allah was going to meet his beloved friend, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. What made Sa'd ibn Mu'adh so great? It was reported that the Prophet ﷺ carried the dead body of Sa'd. And when he was carrying the dead body of Sa'd, he was tiptoeing, putting a spot here and then looking here, so putting another leg there, looking where, putting another leg there. So Umar said, Ya Rasulullah, what are you doing? He said, Wallahi, Ya Umar, I can't find a single place to put my foot from the number of angels that have come down to pray on the body of Sa'd. Yes, the number of Sahaba that prayed on his dead body was only a few. But the unseen world, you have no idea. The unseen world, you have no idea. It is for this reason why Muawiyah ibn Muawiyah al-Laythi rahimahullah, was reported, one Sahabi, only two Sahaba prayed over his dead body. But the Prophet ﷺ said, in the authentic hadith, he said, I saw no less than 70,000 angels praying on the dead body of Muawiyah ibn Muawiyah al-Laythi. Who was this man? Why was he so great? He was a man who loved to say, Qul huwallahu ahad. Everyone, remember the one who loved to say, Qul huwallahu ahad all the time? His name was Muawiyah ibn Muawiyah al-Laythi rahimahullah. And he was the man who only few Sahaba prayed over his dead body when he died, but 70,000 angels came down. So it doesn't matter. You may not be recognized on this earth. You may not be recognized by people who know you. You could be a simple person in others' eyes, even in your own family's eyes, but with Allah you might be great. With Allah you might be great. And this is why it was reported about Al-Layth al-Harbi, one of the great scholars of Islam. When he passed away a very simple man. Then a beggar came and said, hey, where is that man that used to live on this house here? That used to work in this shop over here? He said, oh, that man, he's passed away, don't you know? I said, who's going to give me lunch? I said, what do you mean lunch? He said, don't you know, for the last 40 years, this man has been giving me lunch. So his wife said, oh my God. It was reported in his biography, in Sir Alam al-Nubala. He said, oh my God, are you for real? For 40 years, you've been eating lunch for him? He said, yes. He said, for 40 years, this man, my husband, has been asking me to prepare lunch for him. I thought he's eating lunch. He was actually fasting. His wife didn't even know. His wife didn't even know that he was not eating his lunch. He was giving it to a poor beggar. Allahu Akbar. My brothers and sisters in Islam, you might be a simple person. Might not be the Prime Minister of Malaysia. You might not even get there. Might not even be a Tan Sri, Dato, whatever. Call yourself whatever. Dato Sri. Call yourself whatever the hell you want. as many titles, Hajja. Call yourself whatever titles you want, doctor, sheikh, add more. You may be very insignificant in people's eyes, but to Allah you can be great. So to be someone great that the ummah needs, it's not about being recognized with others. It is to be recognized with Allah Rabbul Alameen. This man, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, 7 years as a Muslim, he dies, Allah's throne shakes with happiness. Why? Because of the following thing I'm about to tell you. In the Battle of Badr, on the Aqaba, Battle of Badr, right? Aqaba, right? Day of great distress, they never came out wanting to fight 1,000 people army. They came with disheveled swords, with 2 horses, few camels to fight this army that is coming. Oh my God. What did the Prophet do? He heard that they are coming. So he got the Sahaba all together. And then the people said, the Prophet said, oh people, tell me, what do you think? So Abu Bakr stood up. Ya Rasulullah, go and fight. We will fight with you. Thank you. Umar stood up. Ya Rasulullah, go and fight. We will fight. Thank you. One after the other, the Muhajirin stood up. 78 Muhajirin amongst the 316 people there in the Battle of Badr. They stood up one after the other. Thank you, thank you. But of course they had a reason to fight. They had been kicked out of their homes. These are the people who did it. To hell with them, let's fight them. Who did the Prophet really want to hear from? The Ansar. And who stood up from the Ansar? Only one man. What was his name? Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. You want to know why his throne shook? Because he spoke like that one man. On that day, if you can speak like that one man, on the day of Aqaba, you can be that one man, you will have Allah's throne shaking on the day you die. And 70,000 angels will come down, and even more will come down to pray on your dead body. What did he say? He said, Ya Rasulullah, it is as if you are looking at us. He said, yes. You are larger in number, 220. He said, Ya Rasulullah, we believed in you, and we didn't have to believe in you. We believed in you. We chose you as our Amir, as our Prophet. And we're not about to turn our backs on that, Ya Rasulullah. Wallahi, Ya Rasulullah, we're not going to be like the people who said to Musa, alayhi salam, go and fight, you and your Lord will stay here. Rather, we are the people who are going to say, Ya Rasulullah, go and fight. And may Allah show you from us that which will please you, Ya Rasulullah. Wallahi, Ya Rasulullah, if you drove us into the ocean and told us to drown ourselves, not one man will stay behind. Do you see how he spoke? Do you see how this man spoke? Do you see why he is so great? فَلَقَتَحَمَ الْعَقَبَ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَمَ الْعَقَبَ. He spoke on the day of great distress to a man, Muhammad ﷺ, who was worried that he would be driving his own followers to utter destruction. He gave him hope, belief that we are with him, even though he thought, you know what are these people used for when their swords are blunt and they have no spears? He gave this man hope. He gave him this impotence, this drive to carry on. And because of this, he became great in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wasn't a master tactician. He wasn't particularly rich. He wasn't particularly smart. But he knew how to speak at the day of Aqaba. He came to the aid of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Islam on the day of Aqaba. My brothers and sisters, Islam, seek out the Aqaba so that you can become that one man. Seek out the need of Islam and Muslims so that you can become great in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember something, and this is very important, is that we all know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's test is late. We know Allah's results, Allah's success is late. We have been calling upon Allah, oh Allah, help Kashmir. He hasn't helped Kashmir yet. Oh Allah, help Palestine. Hasn't helped, happened yet. Oh Allah, help Chechnya. Hasn't happened yet. Oh Allah, help whichever country. 10 Muslim countries in war right now out of 57. His help has not come just yet. But here is something I want to tell you, that I have learned from the story of the prophets, and I asked my Sheikh this question a few years back when I was going through business difficulty. I said, Sheikh, I'm in some really big difficulty right now, some massive difficulty. I feel it's going to destroy me, and I don't want to say it. I don't want to be the person that says, I've been calling on Allah, but His help is not coming. You know that hadith that says, don't ever say that? I don't want to be that person, but I'm feeling like it, wallah. I'm just feeling like it, like I'm calling on Him, it's not coming. Do you know what he said? He said, when Allah's help is late, that means it's going to be big. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. My respected brothers and my sisters in Islam, what we see amongst us right now is only 1% of Allah's mercy. 99% is waiting for us in the Akhirah. Whatever we see from the goodness and greatness of the numbers of Muslims and the khair that we have in our ummah, mashallah, youth we have in our ummah, we have resources in our ummah, we have land in our ummah, we have a lot, subhanallah. Whatever blessings is only 1%. Remember, 99% awaits us only. Only us, no one else in the Akhirah. We have a Lord that is willing to help us and support us. Always His help comes at the last minute. He has said that in the Quran. And He has told us not to be of those people who despair. And I learned this from an example that happened to me whilst I went back home, back to Bangladesh, when I went back home and I was buying some rice. Rice. I said 20 kilo rice, I've got a big family, I've got to buy 20 kilo rice. So what happened? The rice merchant put a big bag, big brown bag on one side of the scale. On the other scale, he put a 20 kilo weight. Then he put 1 kilo, 2 kilo. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 12, 13. No movement. The scale has not moved. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. No movement. It's still the 20 kilo here and this 17 kilo is still here. 18. Ooh, something shook there. 19. Oy, what the hell's going on? Suddenly a tiny bit of movement, but still went back. Still went back. Huh? As soon as he's putting the 20, oh my God, a little bit more rice on top of the 20, boom. Right? We might be at the 19th year. We might be at the 90th year before the 91st year, which is when the Crusaders are going to be kicked out of Jerusalem. We might be just a few years before. We cannot give up now. We cannot give up hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help is always at the last minute. This is so that He can test and so that He can increase our ajr on the day of judgment. It was reported that Musa alayhi salam could not part the seas had he not actually been at the edge of the ocean. And the fire did not become cool for Ibrahim until he was thrown into it. Before that, it was so hot that even a bird could not go over it. And of course, Allah's help did not come until Ibrahim was actually putting the sword to the neck of Ismail. My friends, Allah loves to test His beloved. Allah loves to test His beloved. We are His beloved and He loves to test us. And so Allah Rabbul Alameen, in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, which was revealed in the 10th year of the Prophet's prophethood, in the year of Huzun, which is the year in which two of his beloved people died. His wife Khadija radiyallahu anhu died and his uncle passed away, Abu Talib. And when Abu Talib and Khadija died, that year was his year of great distress. So Allah revealed a surah telling him great distress. What was it? Surah Yusuf alayhi salam. In that surah, after the surah, towards the end, last few verses, Allah says something. What does He say? You have read it, but I don't know if you pondered on it. He says, فَلَمَّا اسْتَيْأَسَ الرُّسُلُ وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ كُذِبُوا أَتَاهُمْ نَصْرُنَا. What does it mean? So, فَلَمَّا, when, the following thing happened. What happened? اسْتَيْأَسَ الرُّسُلُ اسْتَفْعَلَ. Of a word in the wazn istaf'ala means when they were seeking to be. So, seeking to do an action. So, istay'asa means when the doer of the action, which is rusul, when the messengers were almost giving up hope. The messengers were giving up hope. Do you believe? You know who? I'm not talking about the general people. The people had gone. Like, people's hope had gone, right? It's not happening, guys. Allah's help is not coming. Khalas, we've been abandoned. We've been fooled. We've been lied to. فَلَمَّا اسْتَيْأَسَ الرُّسُلُ, when the messengers were about to give up hope. My God, the strongest people were about to give up hope. وَظَنُّوا, and they all thought, أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ كُذِبُوا, they thought that they had been lied to, meaning Allah had lied to them. أَتَاهُمْ نَصْرُنَا, my help comes to them. Meaning, almost they're about to, stay asu, meaning they're about to lose hope. So before they lose hope, Allah's help comes, because Allah doesn't want you to be a disbeliever. So before that happens, Allah's help comes. But Allah tests you to the point of what is your level of belief. The scholar said, Ibn Qayyim says, the reason why Allah does it is because Allah wants to measure how much He wants to allow you to look at Himself on the Day of Judgment. And He wants to measure how much of a rahiq al-makhtum He wants to give you to drink on the Day of Judgment. He wants to measure how much ajr He wants to give you on the Day of Judgment, because your ajr is by your sabr and by your hope in Allah and by your trust in Allah. So if you can keep your positivity on Rabbul Alameen, seek that out to be that one man. Continue to think good about Allah despite the results not coming, because results is not in your hands anyway. Continue to try to find how to help Islam and be that one man that helps Islam, then you will be from this person who Allah Rabbul Alameen will definitely, and His help will come true. If Allah's help is coming too quick, probably He's not testing you enough, or He's helping you early. But His help will surely come, and His success will surely come, and you will surely be from those people who become from the best of people, bi-idhnillah, that have helped Islam on the Day of Aqaba. ثُمَّ عَلَمُوا أَيُّهَا الْمُسْلِمُونَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَكُمْ فِي الْقُرْآنِ الْكَرِيمِ قَائِلًا جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ وَتَقَدَّسَتْ أَسْمَاؤُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَلَائِكَةَ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات المؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات. اللهم انصر دينك وكتابك وسنة نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم. عباد الله, إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم, ولذكر الله أكبر, والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقيم الصلاة.